We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and joining us in studio here for the rest of the show, we have Perry Wiggins, Lieutenant General retired and Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, it's a pretty day out there today. It's not 100 degrees yet, so it's a positive thing.
It's football weather.
Well, that's true. And unfortunately, our first game is going to be in Dallas. So, you know, I'll be watching it on television probably like a lot of other folks.
Mm-hmm. We were discussing this earlier that we need to get your prediction on our list because Mitch felt it was important that – well, I felt it was important. Mitch agreed. And, Brandon, I haven't gotten your prediction yet either. Hmm. So do you have a
– On this game
general,
coming up?
On this game coming up.
Okay. I'm going to be very positive. I'm going to be a good K-State fan.
Okay.
I'm going to say K-State's going to win 27 to 17.
That's what I have.
Really?
I had that. I appreciate your support.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, appreciate you listening this morning. Brandon, did you have one yet?
Yeah, I'll make a prediction. I'll just say 34 to 30, K-State.
Okay, wow. A little closer. And Mitch will want to know how many good for a Wildcat first downs he will call.
Boy, I don't know.
I've got 18, he's got 20.
All right, I'll split the difference. I'll go 19.
General, do you
I'll say 21.
Look at you. Ever the optimistic one. Okay, back to the show. Thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you in person.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you.
We found out you guys are the same age.
That's right.
Oh, we did find that out?
Yep.
I did not know that. He's been just a little bit more successful in his life.
Yeah. That's all from perspective.
Oh, yeah right. Yep. Oh, we appreciate it. We appreciate your coming in here on a regular basis. That's it's good to get this information out, especially with everything that's going on. Goodness gracious!
No, it's my pleasure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we've it's been a tough month. Really, for anybody watching, we've been seeing the news, and it's just been I emailed you the other day, and I kind of shared some of my frustrations with all of this, and So there were some mistakes maybe made along the way from the leadership perspective. I don't think anyone's questioning that. But now that we've gotten to kind of where we're at here in the situation, what's been kind of your reaction? I'll kind of just open the floor up to you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Brandon, you're not unique. Anybody that's wore the cloth of the nation, that's watched what's unfold on television this past few weeks, is filled with emotion. And I mean anybody, because, this dredged up some old memories of a time we weren't covered ourselves in glory, and that was Vietnam. And so for me, I've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of notes, a lot of calls from folks that I've served with and for. The thing I want to communicate to everybody that wore a uniform and traveled thousands of miles from their home and stood on point is, this, in my opinion, is not a military defeat. We didn't lose a battle on the battlefield in Vietnam. We didn't lose them in Afghanistan either, if the truth be told. I'm not somebody's going to come on as a historian and say, oh, yeah, we lost X or Y. For me, we've been the best team on the battlefield. We've had the finest military force for years. And, and the rest of the world knows it. But in this particular case, tactically and operationally, we took the fight to the enemy. And then strategically and politically, we've made some stumbles that I don't understand personally. And I've had some folks write me and say, well, we had to get people out and all those things. Well, that's a decision well above my pay grade. But I will tell you that we got people all over this world that are stationed in countries. Iraq is one of them. You can go to Japan during World War II, Germany. There's a lot of places where we put formations there. And I don't think anybody's surprised that the Afghan army kind of fell apart, because the bottom line is the backbone of their military was our NCOs and our officers, our advisors that stood in their ranks and provided that leadership necessary for a forming army to execute a war. War is confusing. War is tough. War is hard. And you need individuals there that are experienced and have the calm. And the American fighting soldier has that. And that's something that you've seen without them. A force of 300,000 just disintegrated. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of emotion out there. But my major concern is not necessarily, I don't like to be an armchair quarterback. I never have been. I never will be. But I just want every person out there that's feeling these emotions, similar to how you're feeling and I'm feeling, to understand that's you're not unique, number one. But number two, they should not feel that it was in vain either, because some of us lost members of the team, and that's a significant event. And to those family members out there, this is a significant hard time for them, and we need to understand that. And as Americans, we need to wrap our arms around them.
And I think some of my disappointment comes from, you know, this is my generation's Vietnam, pretty much. I mean, I was in high school when this whole thing started. A lot of my friends, when they signed up for the military, they went overseas and they either went to Afghanistan or Iraq. And, you know, and some of them came back and just changed men, you know. I don't think I lost any friends in this conflict, but, you know, definitely changed them personally after they came back. Just kind of seeing the hell of that situation over there. But, you know, it's really tough to, you know, to see it just kind of the way it ended here. And I don't know, I'm not a foreign policy expert or anything like that. I really don't know. I'm more just kind of viewing it here from afar. But it seems to me that, you know, this can't bode well here for our allies, you know, our relationships with other countries here in the world. Can you kind of talk to that perspective?
Sure. I think, to be honest with you, and bottom line up front, it's going to self-correct itself, right? Over time, the thing that gets me about this particular process, and as you take a look at it, this nation needs to stand proud. This is not Vietnam, and partly because of the Vietnam veterans who are out there and part of our communities now, that we're making sure that the American public and the nation stood behind its service members. That has never been a question. America has stood behind the American service member for the past 20 years. No hesitation. And when I came off of planes and I was in uniform, I was greeted very differently than a Vietnam vet was greeted. So America pretty much learned its lesson in that process, and thankfully, in large part to our Vietnam veterans, it said, hey, we're not going to forget. We're going to stand up for our soldiers and service members. So I think the American public and the citizen can feel very proud. I think you're going to find a lot of folks are going to go back, a lot of think tanks. You know, I'm kind of jaded on think tanks because, you know, they go back and they're probably watching it over right now, trying to figure out what great book they can write next as they start to unfold this. And you'll hear a lot of intellectuals and folks that think they have intellectual acumen saying, well, you know, we need to go back now. We need to unfold all this and do all these things. You know, all you got to do is take a look at history. We have enough history to fold it all out. We know where the problem was. It'd take a blind man to find the problem. Now we got to figure out how we correct that problem. You got to enact measures and things and put in place so that we don't repeat that. And I think they know. So, you know, for me, it's now for people in leadership to take a look, strap on the mantle of responsibility, which is incumbent upon when you strap on that position and those positions, and start getting at what the problem is and correct it. Because decisions in this particular case aren't like a football team where you just wipe it off and you step back onto the football field in a week. This comes with a cost. And unfortunately, our nation has paid a very, very steep cost in this particular drawdown.
Hmm. Well, I had the opportunity to talk to an Afghan, someone who was born in Afghanistan, and she served in the Army, and she's trying to help get some of her family out of there. And, you know, there's efforts underway to get some of the refugees resettled, even here in Manhattan. What's your thinking on that process? It seems to me like we should be a welcoming community here for that.
I believe so. You know, the thing I've stated in the past and the thing that I've observed is folks that, you know, 20 years of conflict, one thing it did do is open up the eyes to those that lived in the Middle East and are back several centuries behind us, that the world has evolved. And you can never put that back in the box. So now we have these individuals that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be a part of a nation that recognizes freedoms and liberties. And I think we ought to embrace them with open arms, personally. They stood by us in 20 years of conflict. They've been over there. They persevered through a absolute criminal organization in the Taliban. And now they want to have the freedoms that we enjoy. And I think we can learn a lot from individuals that don't take freedom for granted. We as Americans ought to sit back and take and also watch television and see what these people are doing and understand that no matter how hard you think you got it here in the United States, we have a democracy. We're able to talk and say things. There, people are getting beat, people are being killed, people are getting arrested for simple things like saying what's on their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Fatima, when we spoke last week, mentioned that there's people breaking instruments because they're afraid that if they have an instrument, the Taliban's going to come and shoot them in the head. Or worse, you know, and just things like that. It's almost unthinkable here. It's hard for us in America to think that there's places in this world where simple things like that are.
Well, I was running in Saudi Arabia during Desert Storm, a long time ago. I put on my shorts after the war was over in Dhahran, and T-shirt. I hadn't run PT in a long time. I thought I might want to put on my tennis shoes. While we're waiting for the aircraft to arrive, and I ran off the little compound we had, and a guy came chasing after me with a stick, and it was the religious police, because I was out there, you know, on a certain day doing a certain thing. You know, can you imagine here in the United States if we had a religious police that had their certain rules and things and process out there and were trying to enforce those type of rules, it would be absolutely miserable. And so I think, once again, we got to understand the culture. We got to understand and be sensitive to those things. But they have to also understand that America is built on principles and liberties, and our Constitution outlines those for each and every American.
Take a break here, and we'll continue our conversation with General Wiggins. In just a moment, you're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.